Friends, as I said earlier, today is the feast of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. For those of us who are believers, this feast and the meaning of this feast is a no-brainer, right? For us, the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist, this is at the very center of our life together as Catholics. And so we believe that Jesus intended to be present among his people in the form of bread and wine. We don't doubt that. This is what Jesus intended to do. And so we also believe that at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and took wine and said, "This is my body and this is my blood," and he asked us to do it in his memory. And we believe that every time we celebrate what Jesus did in his memory, that Christ becomes really, in a very concrete way, present among us in this bread and wine. This is at the core of our faith, and I'm sure all of us believe this. But just because we take what we believe for granted does not mean that the Eucharist is free of controversy. From the beginning, the body and blood of Christ, the Eucharist, has always been the subject of much misconception and misunderstanding. So as early as Paul's time, and this is maybe about 50, 51, 52 AD, Paul is already struggling with those people who do not understand the Eucharist for what it is. And I'm going to come to that in my second point. And then John, probably about 40 years later, John's Gospel is written probably about between 90 and 95 AD. John dedicates an entire chapter, John chapter 6, it's called the Bread of Life Discourse, trying to remove doubts about the real presence of Christ in bread and wine. So he would say things like, "My flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Unless you eat the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you." And the reason John is writing that is because there are serious doubts about what it means to eat the flesh and drink the blood of another person. Is that cannibalism? So, as I said, doubts always existed. About the 11th century, there was a major crisis with regard to the Eucharist. Berengarius of Tours was a theologian. He also was a rationalist. And his argument was very simple. This is what he said. He said, "Our mind does not play games. What we see is what is reality." So, for example, I have 2 sheets of white paper in my hand, and I don't think that in 5 minutes this is going to look like a piece of wood or it's another human person in my hands. No, why? Because my mind does not play games. I see what reality is, right? Translating that to the Eucharist, he would say that if bread became flesh and if wine became blood, then my mind should be able to see it. Because the mind does not play games. So he began to propose this idea that the bread and wine after consecration does not really become the same body and blood of Jesus that Mary gave birth to, but that Jesus is only spiritually present in the Eucharist. Oh, there were councils about this. There were serious arguments about this, and in 1078 and 1079 there were 2 Lateran councils. And these councils, Berengarius in some way was compelled to withdraw his position, but he did so very hesitatingly. So it's a little after this controversy that the Feast of Corpus Christi was established. There was a woman, a very religious woman by the name of Julianne of Liege, and she belonged to an unofficial religious order, and she had a vision. And she kept this vision in her mind and finally shared it with her bishop. And the vision was to establish the feast of Corpus Christi. And the bishop then, of course, takes this cause. And after both Julian and the bishop died, in about 1294, Pope Urban VI established this feast. So this is a very old feast, and it's a big deal for us. And this feast has continued to be at the center of the church's life simply because the Eucharist is so important for us. Now, just because all these controversies are in the past does not mean there are no controversies today or misconceptions today, is it? In a survey done some time back, only 30% of Catholics believed that the bread and wine that we receive at the Eucharist is really the body and the blood of Christ. Only 30%. There are other misconceptions. Many people think of the body and blood of Christ as being something that's on this altar, and that's it. But it's much more. So what I'm going to do today in my 3 points, which I'm sure you've missed over the past couple of weeks, what I hope to do in my 3 points is to talk about the Eucharist and do it in a way to make our belief stronger, but also to remove some misconceptions that we might have. So first, let me talk about the bread and wine as being the body and the blood of Christ, okay? Folks, I'm sure you've heard about this before, that many people say that Christianity and everything associated with it is a scam. Even in the Gospel of John, John talks about how some people said that Jesus didn't really die, but that someone died for him, or if he died, that the disciples stole his body from the tomb and then claimed that he was alive, right? And so people say that everything around Christianity is actually fabricated. But if we really look at the entire history that we have in the Old Testament and the New, you almost think that it is impossible to fabricate what we believe in. For me, something like the concept of God coming and dwelling among us in a simple and a humble way, for me, it is an experience of the immense wisdom of God. And why do I say that? Because today's first reading from the book of Genesis, this is Genesis. You have Melchizedek, who's a priest, offering bread and wine to Abraham. And to think that what happened in the book of Genesis, later Christ would do the same. Take bread and wine and give to the people. How can you fabricate this stuff? These things have meaning. These things have deep meaning. You can't fabricate what is written over thousands of years. And then you add stories or miracles such as the multiplication of loaves. This feast then just takes even deeper meaning. And then you think of Jesus who took the bread and wine and gave it, and then he broke his body and he shed his blood. How can you fabricate this stuff? Only the great wisdom of God could figure a way for the God of the universe to be present among us in humble bread and simple wine. So we who live in this very scientific and technological age, like Berengarius of Tours, might have trouble to fathom how this is possible. It's very hard for people to believe that simple bread and wine can become the body and blood of Christ. It's very hard for people to believe that God can, that somebody can multiply 2 loaves and 5 fish into and feed 5,000 people. Very difficult for people even to believe that God exists. But here is what I think. This is for me. I don't know what you believe in. I don't know how surely you believe in the body and blood of Christ. This is what I believe in. If we can just allow God to be God, After all, that's what we want, right? When people tell us what to do, don't we tell people, don't tell me what to be and what to do? We love our freedom, we love our individuality. Why can't we allow God to be God? If we can just believe that the wisdom of God is far greater than what we human beings can ever imagine, and if we can believe that God loves us, and because God loves us, God has found a way to be with us, if we can believe that, then the Eucharist just makes total, perfect sense. So for me, the body and blood of Christ on the altar, this is absolutely, unconditionally, and I believe this with all my heart, that this for me is the object of my devotion, of my veneration, of my worship. First point. Secondly, I want to talk about the Eucharist in a little broader sense. The Eucharist is not only about my veneration, my devotion, my respect. Yes, it's a big part of it. Surely I worship God in bread and wine. But the Eucharist is a little broader. See, for many people, and especially these days, see, I think devotions is a good thing, but I think devotionalism can drive people away. It's in a bad way. It's bad piety sometimes. So don't get me wrong, I'm saying devotion's okay. But devotionalism, where your religion revolves around devotionalism, it's very problematic. And that's what has happened with the Eucharist with many people. It's a question of my personal private devotion. And Paul's second reading, the second reading today from Paul, has something very enlightening to say to us. So after he recounts the giving of the body and blood by Jesus, he says something very, very special. He says, for as often as we do this in remembrance of him, what are the exact words? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, now listen to me carefully, listen to Paul carefully, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. So, the Eucharist is not just about my personal relationship with Jesus. It is also about the proclamation of a community. We are, by the very fact that we gather on Sunday, it's a witness to something that we proclaim. And what is it we proclaim? We proclaim the death of the Lord. And Paul would say to the Corinthians, when you come together to celebrate the Eucharist, you are doing more harm than good. Can you believe that? If I had to say to you today, folks, we are here together, but you know what? We're not doing the right thing. Would you be shocked? And Paul says exactly that. And why does he say that? Because in those days, they gathered in the homes of people. And homes belong to wealthy people, right? So people would come, those who could afford it, those who are wealthy, they would come and they would start eating the meal. Some of them even believed that when they were eating the meal, they were celebrating the Eucharist. Meanwhile, those daily wagers and daily workers who could not get time off, they would come later. When they came, guess what? The food is over, the Eucharist is done. In the same community, there were those who were full and there were those who were hungry. And Paul would say, is that a proclamation of the death of the Lord? Is that? And he would say to them, you are doing more harm than good. My dear friends, people have always been tempted to treat the Eucharist merely as a matter of personal devotion. So people come, why? I want to fulfill my obligation. I want to go to church. Why? Oh, because I love Jesus. Why do I go to church? I want to receive communion. And gosh, if I don't receive communion, I feel dead. And listen, all that is fine. All that is good. I'm not saying this is wrong. But if that is what the Eucharist is limited to, then Paul says, you have a problem. Because the Eucharist is what happens here But the Eucharist is also what happens here. The Eucharist is more than a personal devotion, it's the act of the community. Our gathering together must stand for what the cross of Christ stands for, and it must proclaim that. If the Eucharist does not also reflect our relationship with the rest of the community, so if I come here and I receive Jesus and I go back and I don't care about who's standing next to me and I walk out and when I get to the parking lot, gosh, how dare you get in front of me? If that is how we celebrate the Eucharist, then what? Then what did we celebrate? There's a disconnect between what happened here and what happens outside, isn't it? So if the Eucharist does not also reflect our relationship with the rest of the community, then as Paul would say, we are doing more harm than good. Our gathering together must reflect what Christ stood for as a community. Okay. And thirdly, it's coming to an end. I know it's long, but it's an important feast. Okay. Third point. We are what we eat. You hear me? If this was a morning school mass, I would have said, repeat that after me. We are what we eat. You go on the net and do a search on that phrase, we are what we eat, and you'll get 1,000 links on how to eat healthy. We are what we eat. But just because I eat salad does not mean I'm grass. Just because I eat a burger does not mean I'm a cow. Only with regard to the Eucharist, we are what we eat. Because Paul says to us, here is the body and blood of Christ. And then after reflecting on the meaning of this action, Paul says to the community, now you are the body of Christ. And individually parts of it. So, we have to recognize, and this is the challenge, this is the challenge. And folks, by the way, all this is not Father Satish's theology. This is Catholic theology, okay? This is not my harebrained ideas. Christ is equally present here. And when we become what we eat, what do we become? The body of Christ. And the connect between the altar and the pews, this is crucial Catholic theology. Haven't you heard people who say, gosh, my husband, he's so good, or my wife, she's so holy, I wish she could be the same at home. Haven't you heard of parents who are great with all the kids in the church, but boy, with their own kids at home? Or people are singing in church and they pray loud in church, but then you go out and they're prejudiced and bigoted and sometimes intolerant and just bad people at work. See, that's the disconnect between what happens on the altar and being the body of Christ. This is very important. And to the extent that we don't connect the two, we only understand part of what the Eucharist is all about. So what shall I say? It's a very important feast. It's not just something that we put up here and we worship and we incense, but it's also recognizing that we become what we eat. So today as we celebrate the Eucharist, I'm going to suggest a few things. When we have the consecration, please, let's be very, very conscious of what we are doing. We are remembering what Jesus did. But then, as we receive communion, I want us to be very conscious that we are not only entering into communion with Jesus, but we are also entering into communion with one another. So today, after communion, please, for goodness sake, smile at somebody who you've never smiled before. Express the fact that we are now the body of Christ, as we even as we receive Christ, the body. Is that okay? So, as I said, there's much to think about. Let's pray that we can truly be Catholic in our thinking, and then we can truly not only celebrate the Eucharist, but be the Eucharist. People of God said, Amen.